Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dimes with Dura on the Joy Slot Podcast, brought to you by IrishSportsDaily.com. I am Greg Flamong, and that is Dara Mabry. We haven't been around in a little bit. Dara was jammed up last week. She's got a lot going on. The busiest lady in college basketball right now, who isn't actually playing in college basketball. She's all over the place, doing a whole bunch of things, doing a whole bunch of work. Before we get going, I'm calling you out for your job on the broadcast. Senior night, Dara, I'm so proud of you. You did the best transition to a commercial. Didn't know it was coming. I can't put it on here because we'll get hit with a copyright. But you're calling out the play and then straight into commercial. I'm sure the producer was in your ear like, hey, we're going to commercial right now. You did the perfect transition. You know I love transitions, Dara. It's a big thing. Tell me about that moment. Tell me about how you felt, all the props you got for that. Was it your the pinnacle of your post playing career so far?
100%. For reference, I texted Greg after the Boston College game I covered, because I had like a weird period where I'm in the middle of analyzing a play, someone calls a timeout, and I paused, and that was one of my just like production mistakes that I was like, I swear to God, it's like a freshman mistake when you're a sophomore. Like I was like, I can't make that mistake ever again. And I was mid play analyzing something, and the Doug was in my ear like, okay, we're rolling to timeout, 7-6. And the transition was just amazing. And after that, I was like, oh my gosh, I did it. Thank God. It was smooth. And then you shouted me out on Twitter, and I'm like, no one else knows how much that transition means, especially from the last time we talked about it. So I think I could confidently say that was my best game by far. Like each time I've been the color commentator, it's gotten better. But that transition was just everything.
There's a pro. Like I you know, and I know no one else cares. I know no one else. But like I was watching, it was on the clip too, where it was like, I think Notre Dame put out the play, right? So I'm listening. And I'm like, oh, good, Dara, that's good. And then you made the transition. I was like, oh, she's over the moon right now with how that
went. I was on top of it that game.
Yes. So good job by you. You always do a great job, right? You're always doing well. I've talked to you about this before. You should be very happy with your performance so far, even though you always endeavor to get better, right? And so you're always working.
Performances. Next time I'm on a broadcast, maybe I need to wear an ESQ shirt. Look at that transition.
Speaking of top performance, if you want to raise your performance in your clothing, in your clothing wear, and how you're presenting yourself, Dara's presenting herself very well on television, and you can do so as well. But if you're not on television, you can do so for a meeting. You can do so for you're going to a wedding. You can, impress your friends, impress your date. If you're not with someone who's like significant other, maybe you're taking someone to a wedding or something like that for a friend of yours. You want to impress someone? Hit up ESQClothing.com, which is founded by Notre Dame alum Ga Wang. You see ESQ on all your favorite Notre Dame players and coaches. With over a decade of making the best custom clothing available, ESQ will help you feel and look your best in 2024. From a perfect fitting suit or sport coat, shirt, or bomber jacket, or that perfect tuxedo for wedding season, check out Ga's amazing work at ESQClothing.com. Book an appointment to upgrade your wardrobe today. Mention ISD and get 10% off your entire purchase. You're on it, Dara. You're on it today.
We're bringing the heat today.
You're bringing the heat today, and we're going to keep the heat going because we got to talk about some Notre Dame women's basketball. We haven't been around in a little bit, right? So we there's been four games since our last podcast, and unfortunately, the game after, we were on such a high from Florida State, right? The double overtime victory. Anna went crazy, right? We called it a legacy game. We wondered, is that going to be a harbinger of things to come? Is she going to use that as a springboard to improve play? The entire offense, right? I think a lot of people had at good offensive games in that one. That was not the case. The next game out was against NC State at home, 59-43 loss. I was aghast at just the way that they played. It's amazing to me how this team can just go this completely Jekyll and Hyde in the way that they play, in the way that they're playing offense. You get off the slow starts, and they've been getting off the slow starts kind of consistently, and that's something we need to talk about, Dara. But what did you see against NC State? And you know, we could talk about the response to that from the team after that. But what did you see against NC State, and how did that make you feel about the season?
NC State was awful. It was an awful game, an awful performance from top to bottom. They had a very good scout, and they shut us down 1-5. We also made them look so good by just letting them get easy takes and easy opportunities and making the same mistake over. How many times were we going to charge into River Baldwin, who got 5 offensive foul calls on us just by moving over in the paint? And it's just like, when you get in there, you have to drive, you have to kick. And we weren't doing normal Notre Dame women's basketball tendencies.
Yeah.
We got outworked 1-5, and it was just embarrassing. On our home floor, terrible performance. We never got past that hump. I don't think we were ever down by more than, or we were never in it by more than 12 points, maybe 11. I sat underneath the court, right underneath the basket, and it was just terrible. They learned a lot from it, but I don't know. It just looked like lack of effort, lack of mental focus, collectively on our home court, which was just bad. It was just not a good day for us.
Yeah, and it's just like when the shots aren't falling, I feel like this team, when they're not shooting the ball well, they don't. It's kind of like they take the first shot available. Like they want to make it go away kind of immediately, instead of like, just like, you know what, like, we're going to work this ball, we're going to get a good shot out of this. It's like they always kind of take like the first available shot. And sometimes that's like, you know, you could work for better. The problem is like, they also have a hard time working the ball inside too. So a lot of the time working the ball around and we're running your offense, like, that leads to the ball ending up inside. And that hasn't been the best way for Notre Dame to score this year. And the other problem is like, Maddie is, it has kind of become like a predominantly perimeter player as far as when she is scoring. So that's another problem. It's like all the scoring inside has to come from Kylie, and Kylie just hasn't been there this year, right? She's not the one you can go to for an inside bucket, and all the rest of it is Maddie, you know, outside on the perimeter. And like I said, if her shot's not falling, you're in a tough spot. Right. Go ahead. If you wanted to expand on that.
Yeah. I think that, like, to what you're saying, like, we want the first option is like, when like Niel wants us to play fast, she wants us to score transition points, so you don't have to set up in the offense every time, because it just puts you at a disadvantage, especially when you have great scorers that can get up the floor really quick. The point guard, like Hannah Hidalgo. And it's like, we get sped up. So it's like, we play teams like NC State's defense is not like overly aggressive. It's not like a Duke defense. It's aggressive, but it's also fundamentally sound and disciplined. They're not going to gamble. They're not going to play overly aggressive. So then you have to maybe go backdoor, that kind of thing. And we saw it against Clemson. They sped us up. We took bad shots. It got sped up at Boston College recently. And then, I mean, NC State is just a completely different story. But it's like, you have to recognize the pattern. You have to be mature enough to know the scout and know that they're going to force you into first, second, uncomfortable options. And you have to adjust. And I think that's where more leadership needs to come in. Like, someone else can go get the ball at the top of the key and just calm the team down. Like, where's that senior leadership to, if you need to go up to the top of the key, get the ball and calm down and just call a ball screen? It's like, everyone just looks so frantic and frazzled in the beginning of the game. And it's just surprising, because it's like, This isn't the first, second, third, fourth time you guys have seen this.
Do you put? I mean, I don't want to phrase it like that because I'm asking you to assign blame, and I don't think blame is like the way to view this. It doesn't. It's not important whose fault it is. What I would say is like, what does Neil need to do to get them out of that? It feels like every game. I mean, this last game, like against like bad opponent. Like even the last game, it's like, what was it, 16-6, right? Like you're just starting very slow. You're starting terrible. Like you're doing this in every game. It's like, what does Neil need to do to get them out of that? Like how do you do that, right? Like is it a preparation thing? Is it a warm-up thing? Is it a however the routine goes? Do you need to change the routine? Because this can't keep happening. You can't keep falling down because we've seen like against good teams. You never snapped out of it. Like against NC State, never snapped out of it. Against Duke in the second game, luckily they did, right? They started slow against Duke and they were able to. And the Duke win was actually their second best win as far as SRS, right? So that's strength of schedule, point differential, things of that nature, right? That's kind of it's kind of an advanced metric there. It's the second best win of the year. So you don't want to just throw that away, but they do continue to start slowly. What does Notre Dame have to do there?
I think you need to get Sonia Sitch on the ball earlier. Every time she has it, I mean, players are never going to have perfect games. Sonia's mistakes, I can confidently say, her mistakes are not forced, unorthodox, bad shots. That's not it. When Sonia Citron takes the ball to the basket, it's most likely going to be a great attempt. She's going to score it. She's going to get fouled. Or you might put pressure on the defense. You're going to get something that you want out of the offense when she touches it early. And as of late, I don't think that she's touched it early enough times. Even if it's not shooting it, she needs to touch it. Too many possessions are driving down, dribbling through, shooting a 16-foot jump shot, taking a bad shot, taking a rush shot. Sonia needs to touch it earlier. And like I said, it doesn't have to be to shoot it. If she's not shooting it, she at least needs to touch it so something good can happen, something calm, something a good option. That's my answer to it. Sonia needs to touch the ball earlier.
So here's the thing with Sonia. And she is not – to your point just now, she is not the type of player that's going to take a bad shot, right? So I feel like the defense can get the ball out of her hand, right? Just by the way that they defend her. She's going, like you said, she's going to move the ball on. She'll whip the ball around, right? She'll get the ball. She'll make the smart play, quote unquote, right? But like that kind of plays, like, do you feel like she needs to be more aggressive in that, like, hey, because she is the type of player that can hit the shot that the defense wants her to take. Like, do you want her to be more aggressive in that way?
Yeah, overall, I want her to be more aggressive. I want her – if I'm Sonia's coach, I want Sonia to have at least 15 attempts per game. Mm-hmm. Because she's efficient. She makes things happen. Good things are going to happen. She can also pass. Like, she's just smooth on offense. She has a good feel for the game, a good IQ. Good things are going to happen, I think, if she can get it and she's more aggressive. I think sometimes she needs to be more assertive in a sense where she's always trying to go to the up and under. And she's 6'1". Sometimes she just needs to gun off that thing and shoot it over somebody because she's good enough to make it. She's probably going to make it. Her numbers are great. Her percentages are great. So I think that she's totally capable of that if she gets going early. But yeah, I would say she needs to be more aggressive. But against Clemson, she was aggressive, and look what happened.
Right. I mean, it wasn't the problem is that sample size is like super small, like she's 6 shots, right? So it's like it's like it was a very efficient game, not enough there, right? Like, not to her credit, like they killed Clemson, right? So it's not like they needed it or whatever.
Right. It showed, though, that things were going to shit. And Sonia was like, screw that. I'm going to take it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I actually saw her shoot a 3. She never does this. She shot a 3 where her feet were barely set. She let it go. Nothing but net.
buckets.
And it's like, look what happens when Sonya does that.
Yeah. And it just, so just to kind of highlight what we're talking about, right? So in the last five games, she's 29-66, 44%. That percentage is not what, it's not what you want, but it's like, so juxtaposed with Hannah, who in the last five games is 29-94. So she's starting shooting 31% in the last five. Sonya's shooting 44. She's taking less shots. Like, to your point, she's averaging 13 shots a game. And in the one game in the against Clemson, like, it was 5 of 6, right? So, and that was a blowout. So that skews the numbers down. I want to see more than 15 on this team specifically. Push it. Yeah, because it's not, it's kind of like you said, like in terms of accountability as well. Like, it's your role on the team. She has to be that. Right. They do need it. And because like Hannah is starting to, I don't want to say break down and get tired, because I don't want to speak for her in that regard. Right. I don't know if that's actually the case. The efficiency numbers are what they are. Right. She's not shooting the ball well. She hasn't shot the ball well in the last five games. Right. There's a lot of volume, but there's not a lot of efficiency, and that's only going to catch up. Right. And so Sonya needs to basically say, like, hey, I need to shoulder a lot more of the role, a load, a lot more of the responsibility here, because it's been difficult for Hannah so far. And Hannah has been the one who it's like, I'm going to take the shot that the defense wants me to take. Right. I mean, she's forcing a lot of things, right?
Right.
Which is her mentality. That's why she is a great player, because right. She has that mentality. Like, I am attacking
also has
no matter what.
It has the downfall to it, though, at the same time.
Right, right. So yeah. I guess, how do you see that working out, right? Like, how do you think that goes from, like, how does Niel say, hey, Hannah, I need you to defer to Sonya a little bit more? And does Niel say, Sonya, I need you to get into attack mode. I need you to go
deep.
How does that work?
I think there's a couple factors that go into it. When you were saying, like, you don't want to speak for her in fatigue. Like, yeah, like, right. Totally. But I think it's, like, it's freshman growing pains. It's people are scouting. It's everyone's playing their best competition, because now it's all on the line for ACC seedings and March Madness and this and that. And it's the February stretch. This is where it gets really, really hard. And I think that she showed some growth. She still has more to go, like, specifically in this area, but she drove it down the lane against NC State, and there was four jerseys there and it was never kicked out. Then against Duke, you know, they practice some stuff that week. They do certain things that they think that Duke is going to follow, which in fact they did. And she passed it. She kicked it. And she was great against Duke. The percentages or the attempts or number of points may not have showed it, but she did what the team needed from her. And at times it's going to be passing. And that's what's going to make her a better point guard down the line. I think that she needs to recognize defense is better. She needs, even as a freshman, she needs to be able to tell when there's four jerseys, you need to kick it to Sonya Citron in the corner. You need to kick it to Maddie, even kick it to AD, just because the defense has to go out and respect that. Let AD miss one. If she makes the next one, then they have to come out, and then it might make it easier on her instead of just pressing the issue and forcing it and looking for a foul call and throwing her body into people. It's like, there needs to be better awareness and recognition. And when you're an upperclassman and you're a senior and whatnot, and you want to win, you have to demand the ball. And I don't think that our team does that enough. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, like, you go up to your teammate and scream, like, pass the ball. But, like, at sometimes you need to be able to lead the hard way in the heat of the moment. And if that is getting the team together saying, we need to move the ball better, because we're not specifically talking about Hannah too. The whole team, we don't have great passers on our team. We don't have a very, very high Q across the board, because our post players still see two people down there and throw it in there anyway. Against NC State, they saw two jerseys on Maddie And they were like, oh, you know, I'm going to try to thread the needle anyway. No, you can't do that. Our team needs to have better awareness, and that might come from knowing the scout better, watching more film. And it's like, at this point, you guys can't be driving into people, bulldozing over River Baldwin so she gets 5 charge calls. The girl was laughing at the end of the game about it. And it's like, you need better court awareness. End of story. You need to be able to recognize when there's 3 people collapsing on you to kick it. And you need to hold each other accountable in order to make that happen.
Yeah. So just to kind of underscore the point too about Hannah and kind of her like possible fatigue here, 4 of 23 from 3 in the last 5 games. Like that just, if your jumper is off, your jumper's off, right? Like I feel like everything is in the paint. And look at, and the other part too, it's like, it's also just the nature of how she plays, because she's end to end A, and B, like she's expending a ton of energy defensively, right? And so like that's, again, that's what makes her special, right? And like to your point, the Duke second half, special second half from her. I mean, truly, like yes. That's one where she got everything was involved, like everything was happening, right? Like steals, throw the ball up to Anna, like get the ball out. And that's a good thing about Anna is like she's very fast. She gets out on the break. And so she's very good also at reading kind of when Hannah's done something defensively. She gets out for some free runs, and then she gets layups, right? And so I feel like Hannah really like jump-started the team like defensively. And that's the mark of a great player, right? Like finding a way to win even though you're not shooting the ball well. I thought KK had a very good game against Duke. And look, Notre Dame's, they've been really good at, like, they'll have a stinker and then they'll find a way back in the next game, right? Like the UConn win came after a terrible loss, right? Which is not just a terrible loss, but like a bad performance. And I feel like NC State was the worst performance of the year, frankly. And then Duke, you go to Duke and you're down in the first half. It's not looking great. Offensively, it's not looking great. They found a way to win the game, right? And so like that shows something, right, on this team, on the coaching staff. And the next 2 games coming up, right? I feel like this will tell the story about what kind of season this was. Okay. Because it's like they're basically, so I'm looking at the SRS. Let me try to find this again, because it kind of shows like 4 of the top 6 games in terms of strength of schedule are coming up, right? So can you win these games, right? So you've got Virginia Tech on Thursday at home, and then you've got Louisville at home on Sunday, right? These are, let's see, Virginia Tech will be the 4th hardest game, and Louisville will be the 6th hardest game of the season, right? If Notre Dame can win those games, then you have gone basically 4-2, or I'm sorry, you will have gone 4-3 in your 7 hardest games. Right. And it's like, look, especially with the way that the season has gone with the injuries, you know, you haven't had Cass for just the longest time. Emma Risch being out, it's like that's 10 to 15 minutes of a player who against a team like NC State can go on a heater, hit a couple threes for you, get you back in the game, like get the crowd fired up. You don't have that. Right. Liv, it's like that. She never got back, right? So that's a huge part of it too. You have a 7 player rotation, you know, and in this last game you had 6 because Nat, I mean, obviously something was going on. She didn't play, and she always plays. So something was up, whatever it might be, whether she didn't feel good or whether she had some sort of injury or whatever, we'll see. But it's like at best you're at a 7 player rotation, right? There's a lot of things that make it difficult for Notre Dame, and it's a lot of things that make it easy for the basketball team, for their opponent, right? But we're going to see in these next 2 games, like how do you view kind of where it's going in the big week that's coming up for Notre Dame here?
I think you need to get rid of the slow start. You can't have a slow start against a team like Virginia Tech or Louisville because it's too hard to play catch up against the top opponents in the ACC. You can play catch up against Clemson and Boston College. You can't, and even Duke, you can't play catch up against these other opponents. So I think that you need to calm down in the beginning of the game. I think Virginia Tech's defense is not overly aggressive. Don't let them speed you up. And make it known from the start that this is our home court. We're here to win. And get rid of the slow start. If it's not working at the top of the key with the ball screen and it turns into four shots, someone has to come over and calm the team down. It has to be maturity in these two opponents, especially against Louisville. They come in at Notre Dame and they play hard as hell every single time. Not just against us across the board, but especially against us. They play hard as hell. And they're coming into our game, our home gym, last game of the season. It's everyone's championship at this point. It's like everybody's going to play their best basketball, and are you going to rise to the occasion on your home floor? Because we've all seen it happened against NC State. We've seen what happens when you don't rise to the occasion. You can't keep crawling back. You'll be down by 12 the entire game. So I think that if they can control the slow start, because there's going to be runs. That's inevitable.
Right, for sure.
Basketball is a game of runs. Virginia Tech and Louisville are going to go on their runs and we'll go on ours. But can you have a good start and a mature fourth quarter? And that's what it's going to come down to.
Yeah, it's like take control of the game, you know, and be able to play the game on your terms. And I feel like they haven't been doing that, right?
No.
Sometimes you come back and win, but other times it's like you're playing good teams. They're just going to put their foot on your throat and you're not going to be able to kind of get out of it. To me, it just comes down to like they have to have great play from Maddie, from Sony, and from Hannah, just period. They have
to
have
that. And that's a lot of pressure.
Well, and it's just like practically,
yeah,
it's just a lot physically. Like it's not it pressure, yes, but practically so. Like there's a physical element to this as well. So
yeah, you just need more production outside of those three.
Yeah.
More production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need that. And those three have to like Sony can't be 29 of 66 over five games. Like the percentage has to go up. Like Hannah cannot be 29 and 94 over five. Like her percentage has to go up. I feel like Maddie's been pretty like of the three of them, she's been the most consistent in terms of like what's reasonably expected of her. Like she's had some huge games. She's had some not as good games, but she's also been fairly even. Right. So, you know, hopefully that trend continues for Notre Dame.
Yeah. That'll be big on Thursday, because I think that's a Maddie who it's a good matchup in terms of Virginia Tech versus Notre Dame. Are they going to put Kitley on Maddie? Are they going to put Samuel? It's also not the best matchup. I think that Maddie is going to be a huge piece on Thursday. Huge.
Yeah. I mean, big game for the inside players, because Kitley is like a ACC player of the year candidate. You know,
she's phenomenal. So
she's a great
player. Really good.
Yeah, really. She's having a great season. So that's something to monitor. That's something we're going to keep track of. Dara. So thank you everyone for tuning in. We're going to be checking things out on Thursday, on Sunday, right? And we'll be back next week to talk about everything we'll see going to the ACC tournament, going to the NCAA tournament. So stick with us. Okay. Hit the like, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell. Whatever it is, we are releasing a show. We'll talk to you soon. Dara, what do we say?
Keep getting buckets.